Hello, hello. Jane Pilger here for your coaching on Binge Better. Let me know if you can see and hear me okay. I'm going to get in here and change my name real quick. All right. Okay. It looks like you can see me and hear me. So that is awesome. All right. Very good. Well, welcome to our monthly coaching call on Binge Better. I want to, we are going to do these calls once a month on the Binge Better materials, the Binge Better, just the concepts and the tools, anything that you guys might have questions on or want some coaching on as it relates to binging, overeating, and how we can apply the tools from the Binge Better course to your work in everything that you're doing in the No BS program. So a couple of things. If you have not gone through the Binge Better course and you are certainly in the right place, you do not have to have been through the materials to get a lot of value out of these calls. Just so you know, if you have not accessed the course, it is on the No BS website under bonus courses. So you can find Hub there full of all kinds of amazing materials, the call, previous call recordings, as well as two books. There is the overall, the workbook, and there's a separate companion guide. The companion guide is really just full of all kinds of just thoughts to offer you in terms of being able to practice and use the materials. So what we're going to do in this call, I want to just talk to you guys a little bit about my own experience. As you guys know, I am a person who still binges sometimes. And in part of me putting together this course was putting it together from the vein of really getting to know, getting to understand your binges, your overeats, getting to understand kind of what's happening around that, looking at ways that you can level up, that you can binge better, that you can be better in while still doing the behavior, that you can see that you can make improvements, small little improvements that will add up to massive changes over time. And I want to just share with you a little bit about kind of where I am in my journey, some of my own kind of learnings and processing. I know that can be really helpful. It can be helpful for you to hear about other people and what they're going through. And it can be really helpful for me too, to just talk about it. And, you know, it's kind of like as teachers, the more we talk and the more we teach, you know, we're also learning and kind of absorbing as well. So for those of you who are on the call live with me tonight, Coach Betsy is in the chat and she will be chatting with you there. If you have any questions, be sure to ask them in the Q&A. We will do some live coaching. So if you are looking to get coached, go ahead and raise your hand. And once I've shared with you, then we'll get into some live coaching and take it from there. Okay, so where I am, I actually had a binge yesterday. And I wanted to share a couple of things just kind of like in my processing around it and what I've really come to kind of like see and learn in it. So one of the things we talk about in the course is the concept of rain and letting it rain. And we talk about rain in two areas. One, we talk about our urges are like rain. And just like rain, we can't really, there's nothing that we can physically do to make a rainstorm go away. We can't control the weather. We can't really control our urges either. What happens is when we let it rain, when we allow that rain, when we say let it rain, part of that visualization is allowing the rain to pass, knowing there's absolutely nothing that we can do to make the rain go away. There's nothing that we can do to make an urge go away. A lot of times we have this thought error and this negative, it's truly erroneous thinking where we think that eating something will actually make the urge go away. And that's never the case. Letting it rain, we can let it go, we can kind of let it pass through. The other let it rain is when we use the RAIN acronym, by Tara Brach, which stands for recognize, allow, investigate, and nurture. And those are kind of the four steps that we can use when we notice ourselves having some sort of emotion, whether it's an urge, whether it is, you know, even after a binge, you know, if we're experiencing shame, if we're experiencing judgment, something like that. So, and then we also talk about with rain, we talked about learning how to forecast, become a weather forecaster. You know, we all have patterns, right? We all have patterns in terms of when it is most likely to be rainy for you. Well, for me, I know Mondays are rainy days. It is. There are a number of circumstances that lead to that, but I know that Mondays are very rainy days for me. And, but what happened yesterday, I did not press pause. Press pause is another one of our kind of key takeaways, right? Some of our key takeaways from the materials are let it rain, press pause, be brave, and celebrate success. Well, I didn't press pause yesterday. I mean, I had breakfast. I had the thought, oh, let's have some more food. And I did not press pause. I did not think about it. I went straight to the pantry. The other thing I've been doing, I have really been working on, and I've been talking about this in the Facebook group. If you are not yet a member of the No BS Binge Better Facebook group, I highly recommend that you join. If you are looking for, if you are thinking, well, how do I join? I didn't even know there was a Facebook group. You can go to the Binge Better Hub on the No BS website under bonus courses, and there is a link on that page to join the Facebook group. So you can just click there to request to join and be a part of the group. There's some amazing conversation over there. And I'm fairly active over there in terms of just, you know, sharing my own experience, answering questions, those types of things. So highly recommend that you get involved in that group if you aren't already. But one of the things I've been sharing is that I've been working on eating in a very mindful way. When I eat by myself, I've been working on not eating in front of a screen. So I basically am just, it's me and the food. I am not listening to anything. I am not looking at anything. I leave my phone, you know, on another place. And that's really helped me be able to have a very distinct end to my eating and be very willing to kind of move on to the next thing because I actually am curious about, I might want to get on my phone because in the time that I've eaten, I've thought about, you know, 10 other things like, oh, I need to see if this is on the grocery list, or I wonder, you know, I'm going to check the weather forecast, or I want to check my email, or I want to, you know, see if something happened over here. All of these things, well, my phone is on another surface away from me. So I'm like very willing to kind of be done with the eating experience so I can kind of move on to something else. So yesterday, back to yesterday, not only did I not press pause when I had the urge to eat something else, I also, for some reason, which is interesting, probably because, you know, it was Monday and my brain was likely to, be very rainy yesterday anyway, I had taken my phone with me to the kitchen table. I wasn't looking at it, like I had turned it over, but it was literally within arm's reach. So I grabbed something else out of the pantry and I immediately picked up my phone and I was scrolling and eating. And that really started kind of the eating process for me. So lesson number one was press pause. Like I can see the couple of times where I have had binges in the last month, I have not pressed pause and I have been on my phone. I'm basically just straight up kind of gone against my desire to not eat in front of a screen. So those are a couple of things that just kind of basics, like I can see that. But then what was really interesting to me also is kind of looking at, then I kind of got into what I would say is kind of like a typical kind of pattern for me where I kind of like have this decision of like, all right, like I'm doing this. Like, all right, I have some random arbitrary point in which I say I'm binging. And it's like, once I've decided that I'm binging, then it's like, I'm all in. And I can see that there is a part of me that believes that like at that point, like I, either I can't stop eating, I need to keep eating. It's like I need to prove, like, all right, well, if I'm binging, then this is what binging looks like. And so I'm really starting to become aware of kind of that. Then I ended up, so I ultimately decided I was done eating. I reached out, said I was done eating. Then a few hours later, I actually ended up eating again. My brain offered up, oh, you know what would make us feel better? More food. So I ended up kind of having like a second little session of eating. And if you've listened to some of the calls in the past, particularly the call that Corinne and I did together, she talks about kind of the difference in me, like where if I've had like one binge, you know, I can kind of like rebound from it pretty well. But if I have had two binges, let's say 2 days in a row or in a relatively short period of time, my brain really wants to make that a very big deal. Well, it happened yesterday because I was thinking that because I kind of had two episodes within a day, ooh, like my brain really wanted to make that mean that this was a big deal. I was, you know, kind of going into old patterns, sliding backwards. I know better. I should do better. You know, a lot of those old shitties that, you know, I have experienced in the past, and really kind of went into some pretty heavy judgment. In the morning, I was able to really kind of see it pretty clearly and just be like, okay, I was tired. I didn't press pause. Here are the things I could do. And then, I mean, there was a big shift after that kind of second. And I went back into I was judging myself. I was resisting. I didn't want to be there. I didn't want this to have happened. I didn't like the way I felt. I was feeling very helpless, very, you know, kind of, it was a lot of, this is a whole lot of old shitties, basically. And so I was talking with my husband about it, and, you know, we were kind of processing, and I got to thinking about my future self, and I was thinking about, okay, what would my future self tell me? And I found this area of resistance, and I thought this was super interesting, and I wanted to share this with you because I really discovered that when I think about my future self, it's like, I have no problem thinking about my future self who doesn't binge at all and who doesn't want to binge and who no longer does that. But a lot of times it's almost like, I think sometimes there can almost be a perfectionistic viewpoint of what my future self looks like. Because I can't, what I realized is that I haven't really connected with my future self in any other fashion. So it's almost like that future self who doesn't binge anymore, who doesn't want to binge anymore, whatever, like it's almost like she's so far away that I can't quite reach her in terms of getting her kind of guidance and feedback. And I realized, you know, there are actually, there are different levels of your future self. So there is my future self a week from now. There is my future self 2 months from now. There is my future self 6 months from now. And even if I don't think about it in time frames, I can think about, okay, you know what? There is my future self. What I really have been working on, what I've been journaling about and kind of really thinking about today is my future self who starts eating and is able to stop and turn away and put the food away and really look at what the needs are, nurture myself in that way, and to walk away from, you know, the desire and everything else. Because what I see right now is very much that kind of black and white thinking of, and I know several of you can relate to this because I've seen it in, you know, kind of some of the comments and stuff we've been talking on Facebook. It's like, once I start, I can't stop. And it's like that is just a thought, but when we think it and when we have proven it true so many times, like over and over again, there very much is a part of you that believes that. But your future self, there is a place, you know, a lot of us, and where there can be resistance about like binging better. It's like, no, I don't want to binge better. I just don't want to binge, period. That's the black and white thinking. So it's like, let's find the future self who is in this process and who is in the journey, who is in the process of unwinding the binging. And what does that look like? It doesn't look like today I binge and tomorrow I don't ever binge again. Like that is like perfectionistic fantasy, right? That idea that everything's just going to be perfect in the future. And I know that Corinne has recommended this podcast in the past, but I'm going to go ahead with a second recommendation. And that is Kara Lowenthal's Unfuck Your Brain. She has a podcast called Perfectionistic Fantasies, and it is amazing. And so if any of this is resonating with you, I highly recommend that you listen to Perfectionistic Fantasies and you ask yourself the question of it, when you do your future self work and when you try to think about your future self, are you kind of creating a perfectionistic fantasy that may not really exist? And does that prevent you from really being able to kind of tune into your future self? And as you unwind the process of binging, you unwind the process of overeating, what does that look like for you? What would that kind of next step, instead of thinking about, all right, I don't ever binge again, I don't ever, you know, whatever again, it's like, where is that in the process? So for me, it is tapping into the self who starts to eat, still has the same urges, still has the thoughts, starts to eat, but then is able to, in that moment, kind of realize, wait a second, I'm believing some crazy stuff here. Like this isn't going to fix anything. This is not, you know, food isn't going to fix this. If I keep eating, I'm only going to make things worse. Like, how does this not make sense? And one of the things as I was journaling today is, and this is when I was really connecting with kind of that next version of my future self, what came to me is like making this fun. Making, you know, Corinne always talks about enjoying the process, right? It's not about just who we're going to be at the end of the day. It's who we become and enjoying the process. So I thought, okay, how can I actually make it fun and enjoyable to go through this next path, which is starting to eat and realizing that I don't have to continue? And I thought, you know, two ways that I'm going to work on this. One is that I am going to work on it being like finding more fun in it. And the way I can do that, you know, there are times, I am sure you guys can all relate to this, when you go back and you start, you know, kind of looking at your old shitties and you're journaling about the things that, you know, you believe, it's like, really? Like, how on earth did I believe that eating that concoction, those combinations of foods, eating to the place where, you know, like, there are like the roof of my mouth is raw and my stomach, like literally, like I push on my stomach and it hurts. How does it not even make any sense that I would feel better? You know? So it's like kind of like coming up with almost like the ridiculousness that I believe and seeing the almost kind of like, it's kind of funny, really, like what we believe when we're in that moment, when we're caught up in all the emotion and the, you know, like our primal brain is just running the show, like the things that we actually believe that it offers up, like it literally is laughable. So I'm like, okay, how can I laugh at the ways and the things that I'm believing that it offers up? Like, how can I find the humor and the ridiculousness in this? And I really think when I start to look for that and I start to look for the ways that I'm just like, well, that's funny, then when my brain does start to offer it again, because we all know our old shitties are on repeat. It's not like our brain offers up like new exotic ideas all of the time. Then they become more familiar because it's going to just sound ridiculous. So I thought, all right, that's one way I'm going to do it. The other way I'm going to do it is celebrating success. Like, all right, look at me stopping in this moment, look at me laughing at the ridiculousness that my brain is offering, look at me walking away, look at me being willing to press pause. That whole, like we talked about this in the Facebook group also last week, just the importance, you know, of celebrating success and celebrating it in three different types. We celebrate. We celebrate as soon as we remember to do the thing. Like, oh my gosh, press pause. I just remembered. Yes. Go me. And then when we actually press pause, like, all right, I'm going to set a timer. Maybe I'm going to reach out to my accountability group. Maybe I'm going to text somebody. Maybe I'm going to go, you know, decide to clean out a drawer or whatever I'm going to do. Like, as soon as I start doing the thing, I'm going to celebrate myself. Yes. Whether that's a yes, whether it's a fist pump, whether it's like a, you know, whatever celebrating is for you, but in a way that's like, brings motion and action into the celebration. It's not just like, oh yeah, you know, it's like you're at a game, you're watching the Super Bowl, your team just scored a touchdown, like over celebrate yourself. And then when you're done, then you celebrate again. So three times you are giving your brain that reward system, the like, that was amazing. I want to do that again. Like, you're going to celebrate me. You're going to, you know, talk about how amazing I am. Like, yes, who doesn't want that? And you guys use the Facebook group. The Facebook group is such a great place to celebrate, to get those additional, you know, to get that additional dopamine. And the other thing, not only does it help you because you get that kind of reward reinforced, but it also helps because you're giving other people ideas and ways, things that they can try that they may not have tried on their own. And they're seeing like, oh, wow, she's having success. She's done this thing. Maybe I can do that for myself. So those are, you know, really just kind of like my takeaways from my process yesterday, kind of where I have, you know, kind of gone from that. The other thing I will say is when I found myself yesterday afternoon, like in a whole lot of judgment, I was really able to just kind of like look at, I was basically like, I was judging myself for judging myself. So, I mean, we all know judgment is not helpful, right? And it's not, but there are times where we just are, like we are judging ourselves. We're in judgment. Our brain is offering up plenty of old shitties of, can't believe you did it again. I know better. I should do better. You know, I shouldn't have done that. I can't believe it. You know, those types of things. But then when we add on top of that, if we say, I shouldn't be judging myself, this is, you know, like, this isn't helpful. I'm not helping myself. Resisting that you are judging adds like that next layer on top of it. So again, it's almost like I was actually using RAIN, recognize, allow, investigate, nurture. I was using RAIN for my judgment about my judgment. It was like, oh my gosh, I could recognize I'm judging my judgment. So can I allow myself to just be judging myself right now? Can I allow myself to just be in this place? Can I allow myself to be in this place where I just feel physically gross? I feel emotionally gross. Can I just allow that? And then I can investigate what's going on. What's the matter? What do I really need, kind of get curious about how it feels in my body, what I'm believing, and then what do I really need in this very moment itself. So anyway, I hope that is helpful. If you have any questions specifically, feel free to ask them in the Q&A, and I am going to pull up the Q&A here. And okay, I've got a couple of questions. We're going to look at these and then we'll do some coaching. Okay. Colleen says, don't you find if you always say Mondays will be rainy, it prepares you for it, but I can also see it as something you can't change. Oh, well, Monday is here. I'm going to binge today. I think for me, because I know I have a pattern, I would say for me, it is very likely that it's going to rain today. Now, it may not. And if it doesn't, then great. Like, I don't go in necessarily looking for the rain, but I also know that certain things set me up to have more urges. Fatigue. A lot of times when I am tired, my brain offers me food as a suggestion to feel better, to give me more energy. And I generally am very busy. I'm very active on the weekends. And so when Mondays come around, my body literally does it really needs rest, but it's asking for food. So I find for me, if I am prepared, if I have my rain jacket, if I have my umbrella, if I have all of my tools and I'm prepared on Mondays and it doesn't rain, that's great. Like, that's amazing. And sometimes that happens. You know, I don't think of it as like manifesting it or thinking like, well, it's Monday, I'm just going to binge anyway. That's not it for me. It's more like, it's obstacles and strategies. An obstacle for me for Mondays is absolutely going to be urges. And so I'd rather have my strategies and, you know, kind of my rain gear in place than getting caught out in the rain without having looked at the forecast and realizing, gosh, it would have been so much better if I had brought an umbrella. Like, this whole experience could be better. Have you ever had that situation where, like, literally you didn't check the forecast and you show up somewhere so unprepared with your outfit or, you know, whatever it is, and you thought to yourself, gosh, if I had only checked the forecast, I would have known to bring a hat and gloves. I would have known to bring an umbrella or to wear my rain jacket. And otherwise, here I am, like, I'm kind of miserable. And I could have prevented that. That's the way that that I look at it. Okay, the minute my business partners were out the door today, I dove into the storm and binged until I almost got sick. I'm having trouble sorting out my thoughts about this. I spent the day pausing and talking myself through the rain, as I do most days when they are here. When they left, I cut loose on a 2-pound bag of M&Ms my husband keeps in the office. I think my future self won't be doing this. She will handle stress in a different way, not by eating. I don't like the way they talk about me. I don't like the way they talk around me. I don't like the way they talk to me. I've noticed my brain thinking they are right when they put me down. I don't deserve to be valued or shown respect. Feeling shame, fear of proving them right. Do binge. What do you think about this, Jane? Well, I think there are a couple of things going on here. I think that you are using food. You're using the food to kind of, what's the word I want to say? You're using the food as a kind of a response to your kind of your anger and your frustration. A lot of times what can happen, particularly with frustration, when we have frustration with, from our thoughts about other people, sometimes we can erroneously think that we're like taking it out on another person through the food. And you can actually look at, this is actually kind of fascinating. You can look at the types of foods you're binging on and see a lot of times, this isn't universal, but it can show you something. A lot of times, if somebody has a lot of like anger or frustration, they end up eating foods that have more crunch. So maybe you find yourself eating more, maybe it's chips, maybe it's nuts, maybe it's popcorn, you know, something that you can really kind of like bite into, kind of like have that kind of like anger, frustration, like through the texture of what you're eating. And then a lot of times, if you are looking for more of like comfort, soothing, you'll find yourself eating more softer foods. So maybe it's more sweets, like cakes, ice cream, even like warm pastas, that type of thing. There can really be you can notice the different kind of either types of food or textures that you're going after. And that sometimes, not always, but that sometimes can kind of give you some insight in terms of what emotions you might be connecting with that food. So I would say a couple of things for you. I think you are definitely kind of, it sounds to me like your brain is really offering up the food as a, you know, kind of a source or a solution for your anger and your frustration. And I think without kind of getting into where your learning is going to be is, how can you be angry? How can you be frustrated without turning to food? Does the food solve anything? Does the food solve the anger? Does it solve the frustration? Or does it just end up giving you more anger and frustration on yourself? And what I would say is, you know, you're thinking about your future self and you're saying that your future self doesn't Doesn't use food. Let me see how you said it. Your future self handles stress in a different way, not by eating. Well, what does that, like, what does that look like? And let's not talk about your future self a year from now, who is enlightened and, you know, is able to just handle stress on a dime and not eat anything. Like, what about the future self? What about your future self who maybe, and maybe you don't even put a time frame on it, but what about your future self who notices, like, she wants to eat or even, like, starts eating and then maybe does make a shift? How does your future self handle frustration, handle irritation, handle people making negative comments, handle stress in the workplace? Like, we are all going to have stress at all different times of our lives. And right now, your brain has made that connection between the stress, with the frustration, with everything else. You've got like a neural connection between the food and that. So I think it's, you know, really looking at, you know, what are other ways that you can handle this, that you can process this, and really just kind of journal, like, what else might be true? What other options might there be? Because I think you could probably agree that the food is not solving anything. The food isn't handling your stress. The food isn't making anything any better. If anything, it's probably making you feel worse about yourself. It's probably compounding a whole lot of these issues. And so what is a way where you can, like, don't go to rainbows and daisies of the future is amazing, but how can you feel a little bit better about yourself, a little more empowered, without it being some perfectionistic, amazing, you know, fantasy goal in the future? So that is what I would have to say about that. Okay, let's go to some coaching. All right, Miss Joy, let's bring you on. Okay, Joy, I'm going to have you. Okay, I think, can you do your audio and video, Joy?
Yes, let me see.
I hear you now.
Okay. Go do the video.
No, I just need to see you. Let's see. I think I can ask you. Well, I don't see where I can ask you to.
I know. I don't see how to do video. There's not a.
Wait, let's see. Maybe I need to wait. Here we go. Maybe I did. Maybe that helped. Okay. Hey, there we go. Okay. That was a error on my part. Yay.
Okay. Hi, it's good to see you.
Hi,
nice to
see you too.
Yeah. I was a little late to this party and just kind of finished up the content over the weekend, but I really enjoyed all of it. I have a question. As I went through the content, definitely, and I took about 3 weeks to do it all. I definitely found some tools that helped me in the moment with the binging, thinking about future binges, how I want them to look, and I embrace this binge better rather than trying to get rid of it.
Yeah.
There's one area in my brain where there's still a lot of tension and kind of arguing.
Okay.
And that is almost every day that goes by, and this is now and in the past, without a binge, it feels like pressure building a little bit. And I know that that's a thought that's not serving me well, but in the past, that pressure will feel like it's building. Then when I binge, it feels like that pressure is released and it starts over. And since I've been trying to pay attention, when I binge, it's almost like what my brain wants to go to is see. It's almost like it's telling me that it's proving it true. Like, that is true. Really, right?
Yeah. What do you know what the thoughts are, or the thought is, that leads to the feeling of pressure?
I mean, off the top of my head, what comes to me is just like, this is going to happen at some point.
Okay.
Yeah. Like it's coming.
It's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming. And yeah. So if you were to put a comma on it's coming.
Yeah.
Like it's coming.
Okay.
Comma. Like it's coming. And
yeah.
What comes after that?
It's coming. And now you know so many more things about what to do. It's coming. And now you don't judge it. I mean, that's where I feel like I can't, that helps because I can plug in all those things. It's coming and.
But what's, it's coming and then we're still leading to pressure. So is it like, it's yeah. coming and I don't want it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to be able to handle it. It's coming and what is the and that okay. leads to pressure?
It's coming and then you'll have to deal with that.
Okay.
So like, I have a fear, I think of, it's kind of like you, when you were talking about your second binge today,
mm-hmm.
I feel like if I have one binge and I use my tools and I wake up the next morning and I do my plan, it's almost like no harm, no foul. But I know even recently as the fall, in the past, I've had one binge and then the next day another and then the next day another. And so maybe the thought is I'm coming, comma, and I might not be able to stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds, cause it's like we could almost put, I mean, with the concept of binge better, right? It's like we're pretty much agreeing here. We're going to binge again. Right? Like yeah. We're not pretending like we're going to be perfect and we're never ever going to binge again. Now it right. might happen. Like someday I won't ever binge again, but is that in my very short term future? Probably not. So I could give you it's coming like as a fact, like, let's just say I gave you okay. it's coming. Let's just say I gave you that, like it's coming. Then it's kind of like, that's where we're kind of trying to peek into what is the thought that kind of creates that pressure. And so maybe it is, I won't be able to handle it. Or maybe it is, I won't be able to stop. Like it will, like that will kind of create a cascade.
Yes. I think that feels very true. Like I won't be able to stop.
Okay.
Well, now, I'll say, not that I won't now, that's, I actually, and then my brain goes, that's not true.
Okay.
Right. You have stopped in the past, but it took me longer to stop than I would have liked. Right. So like days upon days upon days of it.
Yeah. Does your brain offer up, like, if that happens, what does your brain say that means about your progress?
So I put my weight loss kind of on the back burner, not on the back. Like I just have figured out if I just do some of this thought work, the weight loss will come. So it's not that that will take longer. Cause I'm kind of like at this point, however long it takes, it's fine with me, but, maybe I make it mean that I'm not as far along in all of this as I want to be. So not necessarily towards my goal weight, but even more about my thought work and my just like who I want to be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be the girl who binges every day for a month straight. Like I want that version of joy to be the past version. And I don't like the thought that maybe in my future too. Like I honestly, I've embraced binging maybe in my future, but I really want it to be short term. So maybe at that qualification of it, maybe I haven't embraced it as well as I thought I have.
What do you think what would short term mean to you? Like what is to you, what is an acceptable amount of binging and what is a not acceptable amount of binging?
So at camp, one of my personal rules is, So my pattern is if I binge, I kind of don't make a plan the next day. I just kind of let things settle. And so one of my progresses of how I'm binging better is I wake up and I make a plan the next day. I don't. And so one of my rules I made at camp is if I go 3 days without making a plan, I reach out to coaches.
Okay.
Right. So I would say for some reason, my head is wrapped around this 3 day time period. Like, I would love to say 1 day of a binge and then that's it. But I think if I go past 3 days in my head, that's kind of like deep in the woods. I don't want to go. I want to nip it in the bud.
So what is your connection between not making a plan and binging?
Shame. I wake up after a binge and there's shame. And then I avoid making my plan for the next day. A lot of times I'll still eat the way I would like to eat the next day, but I don't sit down and do the plan.
What thought leads to the action? So the feeling is shame. The action is no plan written. Mm-mm. What's the thought?
A lot of mornings, I just don't want to look at it. I don't want to write about it. I would rather tell my best friend verbally all the things I ate and right than because I link my discovery work. I always do my discovery worksheet as well. I do it at the same time I do my plan, and I know the value of them. I totally have learned so much from them. So it's this weird tension in my head about them. I want to do them and I want the data that they will give me. But the action of waking up and knowing I need to do one, I avoid that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's super interesting. Okay. And it makes sense. Now it makes sense to me that you do them at the same time. You do your discovery worksheet at the same time as you do your plan.
Yeah.
So the no plan kind of is like a side effect.
Yeah.
Of not wanting to do the discovery worksheet.
I think so. Yeah.
So is there a correlation between now we're becoming a scientist. Now I'm getting curious, right? Okay. So I'm like, okay, you're giving me data about what's happening. You started off asking about, like, talking about where you feel this pressure.
Yeah.
Where it's, you know, been like a certain number of, you know, days, you kind of feel like it's building, like it's coming. Is there any correlation between that and like your avoidance of or not having done your discovery worksheet, your plans? Is there a correlation between those two?
Maybe like I said, my discovery worksheets, I've learned a lot. I've changed a lot because of what I've learned, but almost every binge happens at night in my bed, after an overwhelming day. And so I do feel judgment when I write that again for the, you know, 200th time. Mm-hmm. I feel like that first part when I write the circumstances, it's not necessarily the same thing I ate, but where I ate and what time, it does. I think that there's shame linked to that. Like, why can't I figure this pattern out? And, you know.
Yeah, totally. No, I think this is a great discussion, because I think that probably, and maybe being generous here, 95% of the people listening to this call can relate, right? Because like I was talking about earlier, our brains are not, we are creatures of habit. We have these neural pathways. It makes sense that it's going to happen in the same ways, that it's going to be the same thoughts. It's going to happen at the same time of day. There, you know, it's like, and that's part of why when we start, we really like, okay, let's get curious. Like, what are our patterns here? Because the reality is there are plenty of times, even for somebody who thinks I just cannot ever stop eating. The reality is if you as a scientist look at the number of hours in a day and how many hours you're actually eating versus you're not, like we really, there's a plenty of time that we're not, and that we're not even thinking about it, right? Totally. It's just, we have, our brain has these connections. And so, you know, for one, I think if we can, and I mean, I do this too. So I get it, you know, like, I knew, you know, yesterday, like, I'm like, oh my gosh, I knew it was Monday. I knew what was happening. I knew, right? Like, and so then my brain wants to offer, like, really, again, like, it's the same old thing, like, over and over again. But I think when we can, if we can be open to it and say, like, oh, well, of course, I was overwhelmed, you know, of course, like, for me, I can say, of course, it was Monday. I was tired. I can look and see, I overscheduled myself. I did this. And then we can kind of say, I think when you get to the, like, okay, if I had this to do over again, what would I do differently? If you can kind of really visualize that. The other thing I really like to ask myself, and I tell you what, sometimes it is very hard to find, but I can always find it, is I ask myself, what was different? This feel, like, my brain is so determined, dead set, that this was exactly the same. Yeah. So, like, yeah, what was different? So even though your brain might be offering you the thought, it's the same old. It's the same old pattern. It's the same old thing. If you look for what was different, you can find it. And yeah. Then this is where you become the scientist, and it's like, you know what? Like, literally for me, it might be, I was actually more aware of the dialogue going on between my brain, like the, what was happening in my brain. I was actually more aware of that. Then it's like, okay, well, then I know those thoughts are there. I may not have listened. I may not have responded, but I heard it. It was there. Yeah. Or, you know what? I actually thought to myself while I was eating, this doesn't even taste good. And then I continued to eat it. I ate it all, but I actually stopped and I considered the taste and the texture, and I didn't even like it. And I still ate it all, but that was different, you know, or whatever.
That's a really interesting question. And I have found, since I started the content, the 3 weeks I've been doing it, I've had about 3 binges. And each time I asked, how was this binge better? And I can come up with, like, boom, 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 boom. But that's a great flip on that question, because I'm just like, it's the same. I mean, I've gotten now, and maybe this is because I've been in PMP a while, but my discovery worksheets are pretty much only my binges, because otherwise I pretty much eat on plan now, because I've done all of that work. I mean, I'm 2 years in, like, it took a while, but so it does feel like I'm just writing the same thing, but how is this different? It's such a powerful thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. How is it different? Like, and be the scientist, like, really get curious, like, okay, what was different? It's always, there's always something different, always something, like, what was different? What could I learn? What can I picture? Like, literally put myself in that place where I am exhausted and I'm overwhelmed and I'm all the things. Like, what can I picture doing a little bit differently next time?
Yeah.
You know, and I think there's, like, that future self, like, let's not talk about the future self who doesn't binge anymore. You know, it's like the future self who, you know, maybe it's just less. It's, you know, whatever that is, you can kind of, I started when I was journaling today, this was fascinating. And if anybody wants to kind of, like, experiment with this on your own, like, I literally was just journaling about what are the different levels of, you know, like, Corinne talks about ladder thoughts, right? Like, we have ladder thoughts from, like, the, you know, kind of our where we are now to kind of where we want to go. I'm, like, thinking about, like, ladder future selves. So what are kind of, like, the levels from where I am today to where I want to go? And, like, let's just take, like, one step up the rung, and what would that look like? And what would she who is doing that thing, what would she tell me now? What would she suggest in terms of, you know, kind of like my next step, to just take one step up the rung.
Well, my brain is just sitting here like jumping up and down going, you just said the only discovery sheets you have to do now are on your binges. And there was a time where it was like every day I was doing one or two a day because I just couldn't even remember my plan. And like that was a level up, a major level up.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Whereas I was coming into the call, I was frustrated that all my discovery worksheets were the same. Now it's like, well, there's really not that many of them. And they're only my binges. Like that's all I've, you know, like for a long time. So.
And then what we do is we question, well, are they really the same? Like, let's find how they're different.
Yeah.
So, and then I would just encourage you if you check in with yourself and how this feels, but in turn, I think knowing where you are in your journey and knowing where you are in kind of, you know, your tools, you might consider a rule. I always do my discovery worksheets.
Yeah.
Because I think you are giving yourself the option to not do it.
Well, I always do them now, but I don't do them in the morning when I usually plan. So I still go back and do them. I'm that was a level up for me too. I always do them, but I let it drag on all day. I wallow in the, oh, I don't want to do it. And then I sit down and I do it real fast. So it's not a loving way to do it. It's not. So I'm always going to do them lovingly.
And maybe you do them before 9 a.m.
Yeah.
You know, give yourself a time frame. You're not going to want to do it. Your brain is going to offer up the shame and the whatever. But I think if you can really, like, if you notice yourself kind of feeling that shame, feeling like you don't want to do it, just like, I'm going to be a scientist. Like, we are going to get curious about this. Like, instead of, you know, it's some penance or thing you have to do when you do some quote unquote bad thing.
Right.
It's like, let's just look at this from a, you know, kind of a scientific perspective.
I love it. I love what was different. I'm going to totally use that.
Yeah.
And I've, so now, right now, because my binges happen at night in my bed, when I've laid down in my bed, I've taken something you taught. And I, instead of what's the matter, love, because sometimes I just say, what's going on, love? And then I just check in.
Yes.
And sometimes it leads to what's the matter, love. But I just love, because in my past binging life, I would have laid down in bed and then tried to check out and ended up here. So just checking in, then you don't have anything to check out from. So thank you so much. That's really helpful.
Yes, checking in. So I want to come back to your first question about the pressure.
Okay.
Like, you know, where you feel this pressure is likely coming from a thought of like, it's coming and I won't be able to handle it. And I got to thinking about like when you were talking about your weight loss and you're like, it's going to take as long as it's going to take. Like, I know it's coming. It's going to take as long as it's going to take. If you felt that way about the binges, would that impact that feeling of pressure?
Yeah. Cause those two feel totally different in my mind.
Yeah.
The binges and the weight loss. Yeah. Yes. And the reason the weight loss doesn't feel like such an emergency anymore is because of all the work I've done and figuring out how much benefit the thought work has and that the weight will follow. Like, I just know that it's not. And so maybe I need to, when we get off of this, I'm going to really sit down and think about how can I apply that to the binges? Like, if I can put those aside and just do the thought work and that will follow too. Cause it's
absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's just like, I actually was, I'm going through, myself, I'm going through the camp videos.
Oh yeah.
And so I was just listening to your call the other day. And so it's just like Corinne was coaching you then about, you know, like when you are approaching yourself from a very loving, very caring place, you're not going to need the binges. The binges aren't going to be part of the equation. And when all of that's happening, the weight loss will follow. So it's like, it's all going to follow. So I totally agree with, look at where you've kind of worked on your thoughts and like, what is different about the way you're thinking about weight loss now, where it's no longer an emergency and you just know it's coming and it's on its way. How can you transfer that thinking to the binges? Because it's thinking that it's going to happen and you're not going to be able to handle it. And like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. It's that's creating that sense of pressure.
Well, I have a question there, because one of the ways I've been able to, even since camp, is I've really incorporated a lot of sharing for myself throughout the day. I have push notifications that come up and I make myself wait until I feel the little bit of dopamine release. And yes. That is really helping to where yes. I get to the evening and I don't feel like I need the big hit of dopamine because I've had it all day long.
Yes.
Okay. But when I think about, and this is just off the top of my head, but when you were talking, I thought, if I think that way about binging and like cheer about that I didn't binge, then I'm putting it back to like a pass fail. So how can I cheer, like incorporate that little doses of cheering for myself, dopamine around the binging, where it's not like you did it or you didn't, it's good or it's bad, but just.
So in that case, again, I would look at to the next rung of your future self. Like, okay. What can you, given it is a typical binge pattern, it's the end of the day, it's been an overwhelming day, you've got the urges, you want to eat in bed, and you are going to eat something. Okay. What is that next level and how can you celebrate that? Maybe it is the way that you eat it. Maybe okay. It is what you eat. You know, maybe it's how you eat. Maybe it's what you eat. Maybe it's the amount that you eat, you know, kind of what, like think about some ways in which it could be, that could be better. You can also 100% think about how you would celebrate yourself for after you have eaten, then the next morning. And you're like, all right, I'm all in. Like, what was different? Like, and your attitude around the discovery worksheet, doing okay. that right away, doing your plan, like you could celebrate your, you know, the heck out of yourself for doing that. And if you think about, like, if you get to the place where you're really willing to do that discovery worksheet from a place of curiosity, you're gonna learn, you're gonna make changes. When you do your discovery worksheet from a place of judgment and like, rushing through it, I've got to do it, like whatever, and you're writing the same old thing, you're not going to learn. And so it makes sense that then you kind of stay in this pattern yeah. because it's kind of like, all right, well, it's the same old thing. I'm going to be ashamed. It's like, but if you really like look at it from curiosity and looking for what's different and finding those things, the behavior is going to change. It's like, it's kind of like we're talking about with the weight loss, like it's going to happen. It's just from what place are you doing that? So you could celebrate the heck out of yourself there. And then the work you do there is going to end up showing up in the evening when, you know, you're having those urges.
Got it.
So, yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Good stuff. I'm sure this was super helpful for a lot of people.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, let's see. Let's take you back to attendee. And let's see, who else? Anybody else want to be coached? Raise your hand. Let me go into the Q&A. How do you celebrate when you don't feel like something is worth celebrating? I don't know how to get myself to buy into it. Judy, can you give me... I think I need an example. You say you don't feel like something is worth celebrating. So I don't know how to get myself to buy into it. I mean, so if you want to give me like a specific example, maybe be a little more specific in your question. But what comes up for me is like, if doing something different, like what we're doing here is we're unwinding patterns. So like pressing pause. If I actually remember that I'm going to press pause when I have an urge, when I, you know, have the, you know, desire to eat something and I'm like, oh my gosh, press pause. Like I remember that from the course. That's all I remember, press pause. And I remember to do it. I'm going to celebrate the heck out of myself for that. There are, maybe you're asking specifically, like say after a binge, if you want to kind of give me some more specifics, we can kind of get into that. But again, it's kind of like we were just talking about with Joy. If you can find what's different, find what is different. You can find something to celebrate. Saying that there is nothing to celebrate is very black and white thinking, which likely is the black and white thinking is what leads us to binge a lot of the times, right? So what we're doing is we're asking you to look for areas that aren't black and white. Like, look for something that is worth celebrating. If you actually noticed a thought while you were eating when you normally don't, that's worth celebrating. If you actually felt the feeling in your body before, before you went and you ate the food and you usually don't feel that, that's worth celebrating. If you talk to somebody about it afterwards and you usually don't do that, that is worth celebrating. We want to get away from the, like, I binged, I didn't, I'm terrible, I'm not terrible. You know, like, get away from looking at the action as something good or bad and finding, we can always find something to celebrate, but we have to look for it. Is there any thought which really helps you to close the loop instead of keep going for the next 2 or 3 days? For me, I really, like, I no longer identify as somebody who, I know that my future self is not somebody who binges on the regular. I have done a lot of work on my own self and my own kind of self-worth and my own self-confidence to know that that's really, that is not who I am at my core. And so when I get into, for me, when I get into the disempowered, the kind of hopeless, helpless place, I really look at who I know myself to be. In the Facebook group, I posted the word hippo visual of the word resilient. I love the word resilient personally. I look at that and it's like, I'm not going to give up. I am not going to stay down. I'm going to figure this out. It's just like Corinne, right? Like, Corinne is always saying, I'm going to figure this out. I very much feel the same way within my journey. It's like, I am figuring this out. And it feels so much better to me to find the wins, to keep going, than to stay in the place of, oh, I can't do this. I'm helpless. In that kind of victim-y place. Sandy says, today I was away from home and had Chipotle for lunch. I was so proud. I posted on Facebook about it and threw the extra food away. Then immediately my brain started offering up that I still had room for more food. There has to be somewhere to get ice cream. French fries would be great. You need them before you go home because your husband is there and you can't eat all the things when you get there. It was crazy. I went from feeling totally in control to trying to manage my thoughts. And Sandy says, I knew when I was full at Chipotle and threw the food away. So I would get super curious about that, Sandy. It's like, that is interesting, right? It's like, okay, you had the thought, I'm full. Like, you were celebrating yourself. You recognized your fullness, your satisfaction. You're like, I'm good. Then all of a sudden your brain starts offering up, you know, like, oh, let's go eat all the things. So I would get curious, like, why do you think that is? Like, how does it make sense that your brain started offering that up? I would look at, what thoughts do you have about Chipotle? Is Chipotle like, something special for you? Do you think it was maybe related to, well, you didn't eat all of that, so now there's like room for more? Were you kind of like planning on maybe you could have eaten all of it? And so then since you didn't, like, your brain was kind of offering up like, oh, well, like, because we didn't finish that, then that means maybe we can eat more. Like, I would just get curious of, you know, rather than saying it doesn't make sense because I was full, like how does it make sense? What was I thinking about either the experience, like going out, about Chipotle, about how much you ate or you didn't eat? What were you thinking about that could have led to the additional thoughts about about the other food? And it's fascinating. I mean, it's like such a good example. We really can't control like the sentences that our brain offers up. You know, it's like we can literally go from 1 minute, having these thoughts and these sentences that feel like empowering and so great. And then, you know, we have these other sentences, but when we can actually see them, what I would like really celebrate for you, Sandy, is that you saw them, like you heard all of these suggestions, and, you know, it's like you were really aware. Not only were you aware of your body signals and your fullness when you were at Chipotle, but then you were also really aware of what your brain was offering up afterwards. So that, I mean, that is a lot to celebrate right there. It's just, you know, kind of that awareness of it. So is using a mouth guard or other device useful, or is that just a crutch perpetuating the rain? I don't know what you're asking about in terms of using a mouth guard. She's saying a chewy mouth guard. So maybe are you putting a mouth guard in your mouth to avoid eating? Or, you know, this is a new one to me. So if you want to talk a little bit more maybe about how you're using it, and then I would ask yourself, why are you using the mouth guard? If you are using the mouth guard, like, I'm going to put this in my mouth so that I don't eat something else, I would really question that, because that's basically what that's doing, is that's giving your mouth guard kind of the control over whether you eat or not. Like, it's kind of like that saying, like, well, I can't, it'd be the same kind of line of thinking of like, well, I can't have that in the house because I can't control myself around it. You know, I have to keep this in my mouth, or otherwise, you know, otherwise food will just end up in my mouth. Like, you know, you have no control over that. So it sounds to me like that's probably you trying to use that to prevent yourself from eating and kind of taking the power away from your own conscious choice and decision. So that's kind of what I would say about that. All right. Well, I don't see any other hands raised. If anybody else wants some coaching, go ahead and raise your hand. Otherwise, we will go ahead and wrap up for the evening. I will go ahead and give you guys one more. I'm going to give you guys one more nugget, and that is the concept of really looking at different days as kind of different. I've seen it as kind of like red light, yellow light, green light days. And this is knowing yourself, knowing your own internal weather patterns in terms of how you might want to plan your days, how you might want to plan for the rain. And so, for example, a red light day might be a day in which you don't really want to plan anything extra. You might not want to plan, you know, some outing or some, you know, like experimenting with some food that you have been not allowing yourself to have for a long time or whatever. So like for me, Mondays would be a red light day. Here's my goal for Mondays. Do no harm. Like, I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to whatever. I also don't need to be like trying new things. Monday, just a red light day. It means that there's going to be a lot of rain. I'm just going to have my tools. I'm going to be sure. I'm going to commit to pressing pause. I'm going to check in with myself. That's a red light day. A yellow light day might be a day where, you know what, maybe you'll go through that light. Maybe you'll stop. Like, it just kind of depends. Green light days, those are going to be the days where you might want to experiment with different things. If you're trying different foods, if you're experimenting with your hunger level, if you're kind of getting curious about stuff, pick a day that you know, like, you know what, for me, like Fridays are, I rarely have urges on Fridays. Maybe Friday is a great day for me to kind of experiment with something. I would consider that like a green light day. So it's kind of an interesting way to look at your days as you're forecasting, as you're planning, as you're using your planner, as you're experimenting, as you're being a scientist. Kind of, you can look at things from a red light, yellow light, or green light perspective in terms of as you are planning different things. So I hope that is helpful. You guys, we're going to do this again on the first Tuesday of March. I believe it is also March 2nd. If you are not in the Binge Better Facebook group, come on over there. It is, there's so much great stuff happening. So please keep posting in there. And I also highly encourage you guys, pick one thing that you heard tonight, one thing, and work on it for yourself in the week to come. And if you want to talk about on the Facebook group, what the one thing is, what you're going to work on, what are you going to take away? Just listening is not doing your work on yourself. This is amazing content, amazing, but it is only as good as the work that you put in to your own practice in your process. All right. Thank you guys. Good night.